stand and turn to Philippians chapter number 4. Philippians 4. If you don't have a Bible, that's all right. There's one in the pew rack right there in front of you. The book of Philippians is in the New Testament. It's after 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians. It's before you get to Hebrews. But Philippians chapter number 4. If you take a chance and look at that with me, please. We're going to read some verses out loud. In 2017, I'm looking at this year with hope and great expectancy. A lot of great things are going to happen this year, and I just know it because the Lord is so good to us. And my goal is to show you some of the things that God is just going to do, and I want you to be a part of that. If you're with us today on social media, we want to say welcome. Come be with us in one of our services if you can. And if you have a social media account at Facebook or Twitter, please share our posts and send them out to your friends. We hope they'll be a blessing to you. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 4. Have you found it? If you found it, say amen.
Amen.
All right, I'll read the evens and you'll read the odds. So here we go on verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure. Excuse me, did I say that wrong? I said that wrong, didn't I? Let's read that again. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and see me do, the God of peace shall be with you. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we love you. And we love you because you first loved us. Father, we do not know what love was until we experienced the true love of you to us. Now, Father, in our own feeble way, the best we know how, we love you. We look to you, God, and we say thank you. We look to you and rejoice in all that you've done. And Father, we are looking forward to even greater things. Things that as our faith grows and our belief grows and our understanding, we look to you for great things. Bless us as only you can in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. In Philippians chapter 4, the Lord, my wife and I were talking this week about what the Lord was going to do in 2017, and this just became a natural place to start the year. A place where we can come with hope and expectancy because of who God is. In chapter 1 of this book of Philippians, Paul speaks of his suffering for Christ. And now Christ is his life. That it's not actually Paul that's living, but it's Christ that's living through him. And that his suffering for Christ was nothing compared to what Christ did for him. In chapter 2, Paul spoke of how he serves Christ and how that Christ is his pattern to follow. And he really is. He's the ultimate person that you can follow is the example Jesus gives. Now, let's face it. People, I always tell people, if you hang out with me for 24 hours, I'm going to let you down, all right? I'm going to let you down. But Christ has never let us down. You can find fault with me. There's tons of things you can find fault with me on, trust me. But the truth is, can you find fault with Christ? No, because he's perfect. In chapter 3, Paul speaks of seeking Christ as Christ, as if Christ is his goal, to know him and the power of his resurrection, to know him more closer and more intimately. But here in chapter 4 was the message that I wanted to start the year off with myself and my family and as the church as a whole. And that is, Christ is our sufficiency. We need to remember what our standing is in Christ. Now, those are probably words you didn't use this week, the word standing in the way I'm using, or the word sufficient or sufficiency. But the thing I want you to understand is that because we are in Christ, our standing with him is such that we can claim his promises, that we can trust what he has said. We can believe him for what he has promised to do, and we can be encouraged by this. The word sufficient means enough. It means adequate for the purpose, competent. Christ is my sufficiency. Now, we all get annual reviews. We all have those times where we review our lives, we review our work, and people make constructive criticism, critiques, right? And in those areas where they critique you, they say, at worst, they say you're deficient, or they'll say, at best, this is an area that needs improvement. But I want you to understand, with Christ, there is nothing about Jesus that needs improvement. He's perfect. There's nothing about Christ that's deficient, for he is full and all. So Christ is my sufficiency. He's the source. He is everything I need. Look at Philippians 4 and verse 4. The reality of this knowledge, the reality that says Christ is all I need, Christ is enough for me, leads me to verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Paul, who wrote this book, also wrote 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 16, and he wrote, rejoice evermore. This is a direct manifestation of my faith. Do I believe Christ is all? Yes. Then rejoice. Rejoice because you have all if you have Christ. He is everything. Well, is God real? Hey, based on your attitude over the last 7 days, do the people in your family believe Christ, that you believe Christ is real? You see what I mean? Those closest to you, those who know you when nobody else is looking, do they believe Christ is real in your life or real to you? See, things are easy to rejoice over when they're going our way, right? It's easy when the bills are getting paid, the money is coming in, and everybody's healthy, and our teeth are good. We don't have to go to the dentist. Praise God. You don't got to go to the dentist. You love that? Huh? You step like this morning. Let me give you a little glory fit today. I walked into the restroom after getting out of bed, and I stepped on a scale. Woo! Down 3 pounds. Come on now. I can rejoice. Nobody else can rejoice, huh? So you found what I lost. Is that what you're saying? Huh? Hey, this is as big as I've ever been. I'm so excited about losing weight. It's awesome, huh? I'm telling you, everything that hurts, I forgot I had, you know, and it snap, crackle, pop, all that good stuff. Christ is all I need. But does our attitude show it? Like I said, it's easy when things are going our way or going the way we want them to go. It doesn't require any faith. The Bible says in Hebrews 11:6, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. It doesn't take any faith when things are rolling along, just lickety-split in your life. But it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7, in Sunday school we studied that today, that we walk by faith, not by sight. Because Christ tells me he is going to take care of me. He tells me he's all I need. Paul is saying, Christ is sufficient. So the question is, I have to decide. We have to decide. Is God real? Do you believe God is real? Do you believe that God can take care of you? Take your Bible, turn to 2 Timothy. Now you're in Philippians, so go to the right. 2 Timothy chapter number 1. And verse number 12. Do you believe God can take care of you? 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 12. Look what it says. Read along with me. This is awesome. 2 Timothy 1:12. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, doesn't matter what I'm going through, I am not ashamed. For I know, now I love that word. Now maybe you haven't taken time to study the simple words in the Bible, but I love simple words. The word know means I have a conscious, cognizant understanding of something that is unshakable. I know it. I know that I know that I know. Look what it says here in verse 12. It says, I know whom I have believed. I don't know about you, but I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded. I've had a heart change. Look at that. I am persuaded that he's able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Is God able? Yeah, God's able. Can God make my current circumstance work out for my good? Yeah, he can. Take your Bible, turn to Romans. Go back toward the front a few pages. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter number 8. The manifestation, listen, or excuse me, the reality of Christ's sufficiency in my life is I can rejoice. Look at Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. Can he take care of me? Yes, I am persuaded. I know whom I have believed. In Romans 8, 28, the Bible says, and we know, there's that word again, that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. Do you understand that not only is God able, Christ able to take care of me, Christ is all I need, and he's going to take what's going on in my life and turn it out for good. Do you believe that? Amen. Or is God a liar? Now, one of the things that, and I don't have time to preach on it today, but one of the things that really irks me is when folks say, well, I don't know if I can really believe that that's what it means. Well, now wait a minute. Either God said it or he's a liar. Either he meant what he said in this book or we're wasting our time as Christians. None of this is real. Let's all just pull up the carpet and get a band in here, sell liquor and dance our lives away. You know what I'm saying? It's a waste of time if God is not real. It's a waste of time to be here if you don't believe God can fulfill the promises he made to us. So if you believe that God's real, say amen. If you believe that God can take care of you, say amen. So then rejoice. Man, they can kill you, but they can't eat you. That's what my dad would always say. They can kill you, but they can't eat you. No matter how bad it gets, this is as close to hell as a Christian will ever get. Do you ever catch that for a second? This is as bad as it's ever going to get. Because what's coming is so awesome. But for somebody who doesn't know the Lord as their Savior, this is as good as it gets. Without Christ, this life is as good as it gets. Because what's coming is so terrible, it's indescribable. But we believe that God is real. And we believe that God is telling the truth. So we believe that we can rejoice. In Romans chapter number 8 and verse number 31, look what it says. Romans 8, 31 says, what shall we say or then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? In Romans chapter 8 and verse number 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep to the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angel, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, neither height, nor depth, nor any other creature, that includes me, shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So rejoice. Amen. See, that's why Paul can say that. See, in 2017, I don't know what 16 may have not been your year. May not have been your year. But I can tell you right now, it doesn't matter. 2017 is here, and Christ is still on the throne. And you can still take his promises to the bank. So in Philippians 4, back in our text, verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. You know, that word always sometimes makes us choke. Now, I'm telling you now. I'm telling you. Because things don't always go our way. And always, when it ain't going our way, we kind of default to some ways, but not always. Rejoice in the Lord always. Do you believe that? Then put your money where your mouth is. That's what my daddy would always say. And rejoice. As you know, I started a church outside of Little Rock, Arkansas, in a little town called Sherwood. We moved it to Maumelle, Arkansas, or North Little Rock, but it's right across the highway from Maumelle at the Maumelle exit. And Pastor John and Miss Jen Vapperson took that church over after, when I resigned, I helped the church bring him in, and we laid hands on him, and he became the pastor, and I left. And he did a great work for God, is still doing a great work for God. But on December 23rd, 2016, his 51-year-old wife dropped dead of a heart attack. Athletic, health food nut, worked out all the time, wouldn't eat anything that wasn't organic, dropped dead of a heart attack. Just didn't see it coming 2 days before Christmas. On the 26th of December, I got on Facebook Live and watched her memorial service. And her four children got up on stage and sang, "How great is our God? How great is our God? Sing with me, how great." And then they sung, "You're a good, good father. It's who you are. It's who you are. You're a good, good father. You believe that? Put your money where your mouth is and rejoice." That's what he's saying in Philippians 4. Paul's saying, really? You believe God's real? You believe God knows what's best for you? You know, you believe in your heart and your head that God can take care of you and wants what's best for you? Then put your money where your mouth is and prove it and rejoice. Rejoice always. And again, I say rejoice. Then he says the reality of the sufficiency of Christ is enough. Christ is all I need. Christ is all I need. All I need. Can you sing that within your heart and say, I have Jesus. No matter what comes, no matter what happens, I have enough because I have Jesus. I can rejoice. See, that's the reality of the sufficiency of Christ, because the secret of it is in verse 5. Look what it says. The secret to living sufficient in Christ is knowing He's coming back. Look at verse 5. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Do you believe Jesus is coming back? Amen. Amen. Let me tell you something. Did you know Jesus said He was coming back? John 14:3, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Did you know that the angels on the day of ascension, when Jesus went to heaven, said He was coming back? Why do you men of Galilee stand here gazing up all day? This same Jesus, which you've seen go up into heaven, will come again in like manner. He's coming again. Paul said it. He said, the Lord shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with Him in the clouds to be with the Lord. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Do you believe He's coming back? See, the secret to understanding the sufficiency of Christ is the fact that believing He is coming back. Do you believe He's coming back? Amen. Prove it. Put your money where your mouth is. See, the manifestation of the sufficiency of Christ is found in the first part of it. This is where it comes out in our life. Look at verse 5. The first part of verse 5 is where our beliefs become fleshed out in our daily life. Look at it. Let your moderation be known unto all men. Do you see that? To all men. Do you believe His promises? Do you believe He's going to return? Then prove it in your choices. This year in 2017, let your faith be lived out, fleshed out, publicly, out loud, in your choices. Take your Bible, turn to Romans. Now go back toward the front of the book a few pages. You'll find Romans, it's before 1 Corinthians, Romans chapter number 12 and verse 2. Now we all know verse 1, but verse 2 is awesome. Look at verse 2. Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. Don't take what I say for face value. Look at it yourself. This is so cool. Romans 12 and verse 2. It's awesome. It says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Do you understand that the sufficiency we have in Christ needs to be lived out in our choices this year? It needs to be manifested. Our response, listen, not only in living pure, but also in our response to adversity. Go back to Philippians chapter 4 and look at verse 6. Verse 6 says, "Be careful for nothing, for nothing. You say, do you believe his promises? Yes or no? Yes. Do you believe he's coming back? Yes or no? Yes. Okay, then we need to prove it and put our money where our mouth is, because faith is the opposite of fretting. Faith is the opposite of fear. Because Christ is all I need. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." In Romans chapter 8, where we were before in verse 15, it says, "For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father." See, that's the other half of verse 6. Look at it here in Philippians 4. Don't fret, but in everything, by prayer and supplication and with thanksgiving. Let your request, do you know that prayer is just asking? That's all it is. It's just asking. It's just going to God with your requests. Like a child comes to daddy and goes like this. "Pick me up. I'm hungry. Pick me up. I've got a need. I'm fearful. Can I kind? I love it when my kids were little. They'd have a bad dream. They'd come. Can I come crawl in bed with you?" Or I'd wake up in the morning and Sam would be laying on the floor next to the bed wrapped in a blanket. He didn't want to get in bed. He liked sleeping by himself, but he wanted to be close. And the thing is this year in 2017, if Christ is all you need and you believe that, then quit fretting and in faith, go to God with it. I mean, he's the one who's going to handle it. 2017 is going to be fearful for some people because they don't believe God can. Because they don't believe in him. Or maybe they believe in God, but they don't believe that God will because it's them asking. Right? Oh, he'll answer it for the pretty people. Or he'll answer it for those special people at church. Or he'll answer it for Billy Graham and his kids. But he won't answer it for me. That's not true. If you're God's child, he is concerned about you. And he stands ready. So look at it again, verse number 6. Be careful for nothing. Fear and worry become our gods. They become our idols. We sit there because God didn't handle it when I wanted him to. Or God didn't handle it the way I wanted him to. So I have lifted myself up above God and am now the authority and say, if God was God, he'd do it my way. You know, thumb-sucking Christianity is just not pretty. It's just not pretty. And it's a terrible witness. I know I'm being kind of rough today, but the truth is, 2017 is either going to be awesome because your faith is in Jesus Christ and your sufficiency, what God did. Preacher would always say to me, he'd say, "Brother Mix, we are happy with what God does. We're never happy with what we do for him, but we're always happy with what he does for us." Amen. 2017 is going to be a nightmare if your faith is in you. If your sufficiency is in your job or your government or something else, you're going to be failed by them. But if your sufficiency is in Christ, it doesn't matter. Because Christ is all I need. The problem is we love ourselves way too much. The manifestation of the sufficiency of Christ is in our response to adversity. If your first response is panic rather than prayer, then you don't believe his promises. That he'll make all things work together for good to them that love God. If your first response is panic or fear instead of prayer, then it's because you don't believe that he wants what's best for you or even knows what's best for you. But if you believe it, then prove it. Prove it with your mouth and rejoice this year. Prove it with your choices and live pure. Prove it with your response to adversity and pray. And you will realize the sufficiency of Christ by experiencing God's peace. Look at verse 7. And the peace of God. See, if we do this, if we rejoice because we're trusting in him, believing what he said, we know and are looking for his return in verse 5. And we are showing it, living it out in our choices. And we're not fretting, but praying, knowing he's going to answer. Verse 7. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. That's the amazing realization of our sufficiency in Christ. You know, the world around us has no concept of peace. And frankly, they never will until Jesus rules and reigns on this planet. Now, you can't always have peace around you, but God can calm you. God can give you peace. God can give you peace that passes your surroundings. It's called joy. Because we can rejoice because my circumstances don't determine my faith. Do you understand? My checkbook balance doesn't determine my faith. The adversity I'm in, the illness I may suffer, the problems I may come in contact in 2017 aren't going to define me as a Christian. But Christ in me will. So prove it. Prove it. Put your money where your mouth is. Change the way you think. Look at verse 8. Now this is spiritual warfare, y'all. This is where the devil comes, and this is the battleground in your mind. This is where it comes. These are the fiery darts. This is where you combat that. Look at verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report. Do you see that? If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. You know, we have to change the way we think about this world. Do you understand that? We have to think differently. See, is God real? Yes or no? And I'm expecting an answer. Yes. Do you believe God's real? Yes. Do you believe His word is true?
Yes.
Then if God's for it, we ought to be for it.
Amen.
That means if God's against it, then we ought to... See, this is where the rubber meets the road. This is where the rubber meets the road. This is where people want to play buffet Christianity. I want to pass right by all the rabbit food and go right to the desserts. I pick the pieces I like, and I ignore the pieces I don't like. I'm sorry, that's not how it works. Doesn't mean I'm being hateful. It means if God's for it, then I ought to be behind it and going, let's do this. But if God's against it, well, then that ought to shape the way I view the world. See, God don't hate people. God don't hate people. I have no right to hate people because God don't hate people. I don't care if you like a person in position of power or not. You don't have the right to hate them because God don't hate them. Do you understand? God loves people, but He hates sin. If you want a dozen or more scriptures on that, I can give them to you. But if God's for it, then I need to be for it. I got to change the way I look at this world. Well, I think this is okay and this is... But what does God say about it? Well, you know, if what God says about sin isn't true, then salvation's not true, heaven's not true, hell is not true. We're all wasting our time. Either it's all true or it's not. Because it says all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. And I know it's a hobby horse of mine. I'll get off it here in just a second. But if you're going to chase a rabbit, blow its guts out. You have to change the way you think about this world. See, these are the things we're supposed to put in our head. Let's look at it again. Think on whatsoever what? Things are true. And accept it because it's true. On whatsoever things are honest. And believe it. And whatsoever things are just, and abide by it. And whatsoever things are pure, and live by it. And whatsoever things are lovely, and appreciate it. And whatsoever is of good report, defend it. Think on these, and remove those things that aren't these. See, this is where Adam and Eve got in trouble. The devil came to Eve in the garden, and he didn't offer her money. He didn't offer her economics, or he didn't offer her wealth or anything like that. He said, you will be as gods. See, the same game is still happening today. The devil may be the most intelligent creature God ever created, but he doesn't have to change his tactic because it still works. Because when we look at God's word and go, I like this piece, but I don't like that piece. I have raised myself up above authority of the Bible and God, and I'm now God. Eve, this is, you go and take this fruit. You'll be as gods. See, in 2017, your biblical, what the Bible says needs to shape the way you think. You're not somebody special because you're of some class or some accomplishment. You're special because the one who loves you gave himself for you without strings attached. That makes you somebody. That makes you somebody that can't be taken away. My daddy always said you ought to get as much education as you can because they can't take it from you. You know, illness can. Illness, brain injury, they can take some of that away. But you know, your standing in Jesus Christ can never be revoked. See, he's everything. He's all you need. And because he's all you need, you can rejoice. And because he's all you need, then you can make different choices because he's coming back. And you can, and because he's everything you need, you can, you don't need to fret. You can pray and God will answer because he said he would answer. So prove it. Prove it. Put your money where your mouth is. And rejoice. Look at verse 9. Verse 9 says, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. I love that. Do. Do them. Do them. If you believe the promises, then believe them. If you believe he can take care of you, then trust him. If you think he knows what's best for you, then ask him for that. I don't always know what's best for me. You believe that? You understand that? You see me drinking an energy drink, people come by and go, preacher, you know those things are going to rot your liver and fry your mind. I know, but it's a rot. And you're like, yeah, I don't always know what's good for me. But God does. Maybe instead of asking God all the time for what I want, maybe I ought to ask God what he wants for me. That's a revolutionary thought, by the way. If you were to say, God, what should I be asking you for today? And then you pause. Because if you need patience, he'll tell you. Son, you need to pray for patience. Or he'll say, long suffering. Oh, so if something's coming and I'm going to need long suffering. That's what he's saying. He's trying to give me what I need, but I'm too busy asking for my junk that I don't get the stuff because I don't know I need it. So those things do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Look at verse 10. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at your last care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. You know what Paul said? Paul said, listen, you know, God came through for me through you. God came through you to me. You don't know where the blessing is going to come in 2017, but I can dead sure bless you. I tell you, God's going to bless you through somebody. He's going to use man. That's why it says, shaking together, running over, shall man pour into your bosom. God is going to come through for somebody through you, if you let him. And if you're fretting, you're concerned, listen, trust God in faith, and he'll come through, through someone else to you. He'll do it. Now look at verse 11. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. This is something that didn't come natural for Paul. Paul had to teach himself. Have you ever had to self-talk? Anybody in here self-talk? Talk yourself off the ledge? You know what I'm saying? You're just having one of those days. And you got to talk yourself back into your cubicle before you give your boss a piece of your mind. You know what I mean? You're talking yourself down. You're talking yourself into place going, oh, come on, come on. You got to think this through, buddy. You got to think this through. This is not going to be good. You got to self-talk. Listen, Paul said, listen, I have learned. I had to teach myself. This didn't come naturally. I got news for you. Rejoicing, having faith, it doesn't come naturally. You have to choose to believe. You have to step out by faith and say, God, I'm taking you at your word. And I'm watching to see you bless. I'm paying attention and I'm expecting. The night I got saved, I prayed and I said, Lord, I'm just going to take you at your word. You said if I asked, you'd save me. I'm a sinner, Lord, and I know it. And I know I've fallen short. Forgive me and be my Savior. I just remember saying, I'm taking you at your word. And God saved me. This year in 2017, all I'm asking you to do is remind God of his promise and take him at his word.
If God is God, then this isn't too big for him because he said he'd do it.
And I even tell God this. I said to him yesterday, I was in my prayer time yesterday morning, I said, Lord, you said you'd build your church. So build it. Show me what you can do. Yesterday I was out and I ran into a lady that I'd given a tract to a month ago. And she said, you're Pastor Mix. I remember you. Yeah, I want to come to your church. And I said, well, do you have my... No, and I gave her another one. And I walked away going, okay, God, there's one. You're going to build it. I believe you. I can't wait to see who comes tomorrow. Because I believe. I'm just going to take God at his word. And that's all Paul is trying to tell us in Philippians. Do you believe he can do all things? Yes. Do you believe he loves you? Yes. See, verse number 12. See, this is what's so cool about verse 12. It's because now that Paul has come through these verses, things are different in his life. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. I know how to be broke and I know how to have. Everywhere and in all things I'm instructed, both how to be full and to be hungry, both abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. You know, it does not say I can do all things through the president who strengthens me. It does not say I can do all things through education. It doesn't say that. Now, I'm all for education, and God knows I need more. But my hope for 2017 isn't in the White House or the Congress's house or the courthouse or the schoolhouse. It's in the church house where God dwells in his people. I can do all things in 2017 through Christ. Because he's my sufficiency. Not through my health. My health will fail. Not through my intellect. I'll get it wrong more often than not. But Christ. So do you believe his promises? Yes or no?
Yes.
Then prove it. Put your money where your mouth is and rejoice. Do you believe he's coming back?
Yes.
Prove it. And live pure. Do you believe he can take care of you? Then prove it by your response to adversity and pray. Do you believe he wants and will give you what's best for you? Then prove it by the way you view this world. Let it determine your choices. Because then the responsibility is God's to fulfill. Let's stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Don't let the devil rob you of joy. Don't let your flesh rob you of joy by allowing yourself to raise yourself up as God. Just say, I believe and I'm trusting and I'm watching for you to do it. If you're lost, if you don't know Christ as your Savior, this is the invitation portion of our service. This is the opportunity you have to respond to God's word. Today, my friends, if you're not sure if you died, you'd wake up in heaven. You need to settle it now. Take him at his word. Say, I believe. Forgive me. I turn from my sin. I'm a sinner. I'm turning from it. Forgive me. Christian, 17 is either going to be a little bit of heaven or it's going to be a chunk of hell. And what's going to determine it is our faith in Christ. Our Father and our God, I love you. And as we come to this time of prayer and searching of our hearts, we come today asking you to try us, to prove us, to show us if there's anything. Father, where we're holding back, that we may confess it and cast it aside, and that we, Father, can turn to you wholly and give ourselves completely to you, believing your word and your promises, asking you, O God, to fulfill them as we watch for it to happen in faith. Speak to every heart and every soul. Help us, Father, to put our money where our mouth is today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Change my heart, O God. Make it ever true. Change my heart, O God. May I be like you. You are the power.
This is the year you can have victory.
Change my heart, oh God.
This is the year your marriage can be all that you ever dreamed and more. But you're going to have to get love from God you don't have. You're going to have to get forgiveness from God so you can forgive others. You can forgive your spouse.
Change my heart.
You're going to have to get hope from God that you don't have hope for your, so you can have hope for your marriage. This can be the year you have a financial breakthrough. This can be the year you give your finances to God and let God direct them and He be sufficient. This can be your year. Will you trust God? He said, I will supply all your need. Paul said that. My God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory. He'll do it if we're faithful. This is your year for victory. This is your year.
I am the clay.
This could be the year you lead somebody to Jesus Christ. This could be your first year. This could be the time when you meet someone and you can win them to Jesus. This could be your year if you believe God. If you'd believe Him and trust Him and you just be faithful to give the gospel out, to invite people to church, this could be your year where you could lead a precious soul to a saving knowledge of Christ. Have you ever done that? This could be your year for answered prayer. This could be your year where you and God walk so intimately that you feel what He feels, that you know His presence. This is the year. But you got to believe Him. Take Him at His word and trust Him by faith.
Change my heart, oh God.
Maybe this year is the year you've got to make a huge decision. This is the year when you're going to make a life-altering one. You're not which way to turn, right or left. Do you believe that God knows which way you ought to turn? Since He has the answer, why don't you ask Him? Pros and cons are good. I like pros and cons sheets. But that's not the final answer. God's will is rarely comfortable. This is your year. Let's take back what we've lost last year. Let's take back the ground we surrendered to the flesh and to the devil and to the world. Let's take back those areas of our life for God, His glory. Do you believe?
Change my heart.
Prove it. Put your money where your mouth is.
May I be like
this could be the year your children see revival. Our Father and our God, we love You. And we come today believing You, taking You at Your word. Father, having not yet realized it yet, but we are watching for it to happen. Because You said it. And that settles it. We are not looking to be sufficient in ourselves, but looking to You always to meet each need, to not only just be adequate, but abounding as You said You would. Father, today, as we leave this place, we leave knowing that You are our God, this world is under Your control, and we are Your servants and ambassadors to it. Let us take Your message to these people who don't know You. May this be the year You rule and reign in our hearts and in our homes. Bless as only You can in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. May I look this way. Now